And he knows that that last one, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, is one of my favorites. What a joy it is for Hannah and I to be with this great congregation of God's people. And I want to again express my appreciation to the elders and Mark for asking us to come back and be with you again on this wonderful occasion. For the ones of you that have heard me preach, you know it will not be anything fancy. All I'm going to do is to preach the Word of God. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm going to do my very best to preach the gospel, to challenge all of us to be what God would have us to be. I want to ask you to try to get someone to come with you tonight to hear the lesson, how to find the right church. That's an important subject. We have over 1,000 different religious groups in America today. And there are a lot of people going to church for different reasons, but they're not really approaching it from the right standpoint. They're not looking at the identifying characteristics of the church of the Bible, and in doing that, finding the right church today. It will be a great study. Get someone to come if you can. What I'm trying to do is to cause us to love the Lord and His church more. And speaking from a local standpoint, I want you to love the Austinville Church of Christ with all of your heart. I want you to be loyal to this congregation. I want you to be dedicated and committed. I want you to realize how fortunate you are to be a member of the Austinville Church of Christ. Don't ever forget that. We're going to study about the church in this worship hour. And we're going to study about the church tonight. You know, just like I do, that most people today do not have the proper understanding about the church. They do not understand the church as it is revealed in the New Testament. And what we're going to do today is to clear up a lot of that misunderstanding. And I think you will see after these two studies just what Jesus was talking about when He said, "I will build my church," and also the necessity of finding the right church today. Our text for this lesson is found in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Look at this great phrase. Jesus said, I will build my church. Those are the words He spoke to Peter. After Peter said it exactly as it is. Who is Jesus? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's the foundation of the church. There's the rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This morning in our study, I want us to dissect, to examine this simple statement that Jesus made in Matthew 16 and verse 18, I will build my church. I want us to begin with the first three words. Jesus said, I will build. That's a future tense statement. It is something that Jesus is going to do. The church is not in existence when He made that statement, I will build my church. It is still in the future. Jesus is going to build His church. Now compare that to Acts 2 and verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's in the present tense. Now the church has been built. Now the church is in existence. And this is according to the prophecy of Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4, and Micah 4, verses 1 through 3, that the church would be built or would be established in the city of Jerusalem in the last days. That's exactly what we have taking place in those preceding verses in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached a great, great sermon that day. He preached a sermon on the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And I want to pick up with his sermon in verse 36. Listen carefully. Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He told those Jews that were gathered for the feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven that they had crucified Christ. And you know, many of them believed His message. Because verse 37 tells us, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There's the greatest question in all the world. They wanted to know what they needed to do to be forgiven for crucifying Christ. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this underworld or this crooked generation. And I love verse 41, don't you? Look at the attitude. Then they that gladly received His word. We ought to always be people that will gladly receive the Word of God into our hearts and obey it. Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's verse 41. Then verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, there's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. And then verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jesus has built His church. He said, I will build my church. His church is now in existence. It has begun in about 33 A.D. there in the city of Jerusalem with Peter preaching that great sermon and about 3,000 of those Jews repenting and being baptized for the remission or for the forgiveness of their sins and the Lord adding them to His church. Listen to this. It's so simple. If we do what they did then, we will be saved just like they were saved, and the Lord will add us to His church just like He added them to His church. New Testament Christianity is so simple. It's tragic that our religious world has complicated matters. For further proof that the church began here in Acts chapter 2, I want to draw your attention to the Lord's Supper for just a moment. We know that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 26. In verse 29, He said to the disciples, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I won't commune with you again until it is in the kingdom." Until it is in the church. And we'll show in just a moment that the church and the kingdom are one and the same. They're simply descriptive terms. You can draw a straight line from Matthew 26 in verse 29 to Acts 2 in verse 42. He said, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And we just read from Acts 2 and verse 42, that they are observing the Lord's Supper in the kingdom, in the church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, there's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. And so, yes, the church is in existence. Jesus has built it. The Lord's Supper is being observed in the church, in the kingdom. The terms church and kingdom are used interchangeably in Matthew 16, 18, and 19. I'm sure you noticed that a moment ago. In verse 18, Jesus told Peter, "I will build my church." And in verse 19, He told Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." One verse, the church. The next verse, the kingdom. They are simply descriptive terms that refer to the same thing. And keys in verse 19 are very significant. See, it was not by accident that Peter emerged as the chief spokesman for the apostles in Acts chapter 2. What do we do with keys? We open things, don't we? That's an easy question. Peter was the one that was chosen to open the church. He was given the keys of the kingdom. He was the one that was chosen to open the kingdom. And he did it with that great sermon on the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And about 3,000 obeyed it, and they were saved from sin, and the Lord added them to His church. We see the same thing in Acts 10. The man who has been given the keys to the kingdom, the church, is the one who takes the gospel not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, with the conversion of Cornelius and his household. There are a lot of people in our religious world today that are still trying to tell us that the kingdom has never been established. They fail to realize that the kingdom of Christ is a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. The kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of Christ, was established in Acts chapter 2. The kingdom and the church are one and the same. Jesus told Pilate in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants or my disciples would fight." And look at Colossians 1 and verse 13. This was written in about 62 A.D., Paul said, "God hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the power of sin, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." That's past tense. Paul said, we're in the kingdom now. When we obeyed the gospel, when we were delivered from the power of sin, we were translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. And that's what's been happening ever since when people obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, very sincerely, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to be saved today. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. He said, I will build. He built His church. Those that are saved are members of His church. And the greatest need of every person is to be saved from sin and the Lord add him to His church. That brings us to the second part of our lesson as we dissect this statement of Jesus, I will build my church. Look at the word or the words, my church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He purchased it with His own blood. The greatest price that has ever been paid was paid for the church. Go back to Acts 20 and verse 28 for just a moment. Paul told those Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. With His own blood. How important is the church? How valuable is the church? It's priceless. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:25, Paul said, husbands, love your wives. How much? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. See, it is His church. He said, I will build my church. It belongs to Christ. That statement in Romans 16:16 emphasizes this. The churches of Christ salute you. These are congregations in different places that Paul is referring to. These are congregations that belong to Christ. These congregations have been bought with His precious blood. This is a statement of possession. The churches of Christ salute you. Listen to me, brethren and friends. The church of Christ is not a denomination. There are so many. It breaks my heart. There are so many members of the church today who think the church of Christ is just another denomination. The question is asked, what denomination do you belong to? Church of Christ. That's not right. The church of Christ is not a denomination. There is no such thing as denominationalism in the New Testament. Denominational churches are less than 500 years old. The church of Christ is almost 2,000 years old. It belongs to Him. He purchased it with His own blood. It doesn't belong to John the Baptist, Martin Luther, John Wesley, John Calvin, or anyone else. The church belongs to Christ. It is His body. And He is the head of it. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God hath put all things under His feet, under Christ's feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And Colossians 1, 18 says, He is the head of the body, the church. And because He is the head of the church, He has all authority. That's what He said in Matthew 22 and verse 18. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus, our head, is the one that is in charge. That's the reason. And many have missed this point. But that's the reason that everything we do in the church must be authorized by our head, Jesus Christ. And we have already emphasized today that we cannot break the Scripture, that we cannot add to His gospel or take away from His gospel, that we cannot change His gospel in any way. He's the one that has all authority. His words are final. And what we do in worship and in all aspects of the church today must be done by His authority, must be authorized by Jesus Christ. It is His church. He said, I will build my church. And then that brings us to the last word in this statement. Jesus said, I will build my church. Is that word plural or singular? Again, that's an easy question, isn't it? He didn't say, I will build my churches. He said, I will build my church. Singular. There is only one. Most people will agree with you on that point. There is only one. But yet, they do not understand what is meant when the Bible teaches there is only one church. Let's notice how emphatic the Scriptures are on this point. Go back with me to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 for just a moment. God hath put all things under His feet, under Christ's feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Paul said, the church, which is His body. So, the church is the body is the church. How many churches are there? Go to chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians and verse 4. There is one body. We already know the body is the church. There is one church. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13? Talking about baptism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We've shown that the body is the church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now go back with me to Ephesians 2. And look at verse 16. And that He, Christ, might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God. Where does reconciliation take place to God? And that He, Christ, might reconcile both unto God in one body, in one church. How? By the cross. By His death on the cross for our sins. Did you know, if you look at the Encyclopedia of American Religions, you will see that we have over 1,000 religious groups or churches in the United States of America today? In our country, we have over 1,000 different churches. We must call people back to the one church that Jesus built in the New Testament. That's our mission. That's our plea. That's our purpose. I want you to think about this very carefully for just a moment. And this is where we see the difference between what the Bible teaches and the way the denominational world reasons today. The term church in the New Testament is used in two different ways. First of all, the church is spoken of from a universal standpoint. When Jesus said, I will build my church, He intended for His church to be built throughout the whole world and congregations after congregations be established. And when you put all of those different congregations together, you have the one church of Christ on earth. But see, what the denominational world wants to do is this. They want to say it doesn't matter what you believe. And you just take all the denominations, regardless of what they preach, teach, or practice. You just take all the different religions and the religious groups and you put them together. And you have the one church on earth. No. That's not the teaching of the New Testament. It does speak of the church universal. And that goes hand in hand with the Great Commission, right? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. When people obey the gospel, the Lord adds them to His church, and the church begins in those local places. That's the churches of Christ throughout the world. Put them together, and you have the one church that Jesus built on earth. The second way the term church is used is in that local way. John, to the seven churches in Asia. Revelation 1 and verse 4. Those congregations are listed in Revelation 1 and verse 11. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. The church of Christ had been established in those cities. The Lord's church was meeting in those locations. We see the same thing with the churches of Macedonia. Paul established the churches of Macedonia on his second missionary journey, recorded in Acts chapter 16 and 17. Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. There are the churches of Macedonia. So it's used to refer to local congregations of God's people. But here's the difference between then and now. All of those congregations were the church of Christ meeting in those places. They were all teaching and preaching the same message, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. If we had lived in the cities of the first century, there would not have been a different church on every corner. If you could have lived in Ephesus, for example, in 62 A.D., there would have been one church in Ephesus in 62 A.D., the Church of Christ. The church that had been established in that city by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we must call our world back behind denominationalism. I've stated that denominationalism is less than 500 years old. We've got to call our world back to the first century. We must emphasize the restoration plea that our purpose today is to restore the church as it was in the first century. For us just to be the church of Christ that was built by Jesus and purchased with His precious blood. No more and no less. Jesus didn't build a lot of different churches. Jesus said, I will build my church. And that's the only church. And all you have to do is to pick up your New Testaments and read it. And you will see that fact very plainly. We must go back to the Bible and be the church that Jesus built. And so tonight, we will discuss the question, how can I find the right church today when there are over 1,000 different churches? And I want to tell you very sincerely, it can be done. And we must do it. Today we have shown what Jesus meant when He said, I will build my church. Are you a member of His church today? You have seen what those people did in the first century to become members of His church. You have heard the sermon that Peter preached. He told them that they had crucified Christ, that they were in sin, that they were lost. And we need to also remember that our sin sent Jesus to the cross. He went to that cross for you and me. And so in one way, we also crucified Him. We're all sinners, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Sin separates us from God. Jesus came to this world and gave us His gospel and died on the cross to bring us back to God. We've shown that that reconciliation takes place in the church. And what we must do to be reconciled to God is obey the gospel, just like they did in the first century. So will you not this morning repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? If you will do that, you will be saved. And the Lord will add you to His church. And you can leave here with the assurance of knowing that you are saved and that you are a member of the Church of Christ. Not a denomination, but you are a member of the Church of Christ that He built and purchased with His own blood. If that's your need, I urge you to come to Jesus and obey Him as we stand and sing.